I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we are recording this podcast, the Bidjigal and Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. We pay our respects to elders past and present and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people from all nations of this land. Welcome, Ash, to Thank you, Pick Kate. Me Up podcast.
Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. I'm really looking forward to having some in-depth fun chats with you.
Me too.
I'm going to start with what I've been starting with a lot of people on the podcast, and that is the big question of how are you without saying good, how are you?
Oh, I like it.
So how are you, Ash?
In this very moment?
Yes.
I'm feeling very full in a good way. Mm-hmm. I've just come off a really nice regional tour. It was a mini tour. And it's I was revisiting some of the country towns that I had been to in August last year, and they were so full of love and just so deeply accepting of everything that I was sharing with them, and it was just a really special experience. Mm. I just feel really lucky.
Yeah.
I feel really tired, but yes. it's that kind of really good tired when you've had a good night and you're just happy to crash in bed.
Yep.
We've literally just driven straight from Tamworth and come here. So, I'm feeling really good.
Excellent.
You said I wasn't allowed to say I was good, but...
Overall, you gave us good,
I'm feeling grateful and full.
And full. And so you've just been on a mini regional tour promoting your new EP called Family Ties.
Yeah, it's the first full album that I've done since 2022.
Okay.
And I was actually planning to work at this point on the next album that is coming out towards the second half of this year.
Yep.
But I don't think many people know, I had a heart attack just before Christmas.
Holy moly.
Which rocked me, because I've always considered myself to be healthy and fit and an active person, and just came out of nowhere.
Oh my gosh.
So as we were winding down, I was getting ready to do some recordings. They were already booked in the studio, and then just everything came to a grinding halt. And it's kind of cool that it did, because it helped me to reassess some of the stuff that I've been shelving emotionally, and how important it was to get that out and to have it expressed in a way that felt cohesive and felt complete.
Yes.
And I knew that the next album was going to take some time to finish. And so I reached out to my producer, Ryan Miller, and said, actually, there's another album that's wanting to be born.
Yeah.
So we booked a couple of days and I sat down at that piano. And without going into heaps of production and trying to make it fancy, I just wanted to sit and tell the stories of some of the stuff. It's called Family Ties because there's a lot of growth and depth and experience that comes from just that familial bond.
Yep.
Because you can pretend to be anyone to acquaintances,
mm-hmm.
but your family gets to know your shit.
Yeah.
And you don't get to hide from it with them.
Yep.
And being in such a big family, I'm one of nine.
Oh my goodness.
There were many opportunities to experience the light and the shade of love, because it's not just one linear thing. That it's not like love is this thing. It's like all these different experiences, so many experiences and different facets that really help you to dive into who you are, not just who you think you are, who you'd like to show the world you are.
Yeah.
And some of it comes with great joy and great heights and lots of fun and laughter, and there was a lot of that.
Yeah.
And some of it comes with deep disappointments and you know, some really heavy emotions from just life. Like You set your expectations high and they're not always met, and so you get to learn how to navigate that world.
Yep.
And so Family Ties is kind of, showing the light and the shade of that experience and expressing some really intense things that I've been through.
Yeah.
Through that. We lost our dad a few years ago, and he was, because we were raised very religious as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that context, he was very much the glue, the anchor, the lighthouse that everyone could come to.
Yep.
And the family felt like this solid unit,
mm-hmm.
that that was unbreakable. That was one of like the pillars of truth in my life. Like when everything else was going horribly wrong, the family and who I was as part of that family was unshakable, and then it was shaken. And so that theme brings itself through the whole album of what the family looks like without that glue holding it together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that Mum hasn't had an incredible role in being that as well, and being her own pillar of strength and support. And I don't know anyone who has worked as hard as she has to raise us and to make sure we all had everything we needed. And mm-hmm. She never left us wanting. She's an incredibly powerful woman.
Mm.
But when Dad was gone, and it was so sudden as well, nobody saw it coming. I think the family unit spiraled in a way. Everyone, and we're in those ages now where most people are married with kids, and so I think it was just everyone had their different way of dealing with it.
Yep.
But it certainly didn't feel like it came together like you would hope a family would.
Mm-hmm.
It became quite isolated, and that was my experience, and so that experience comes through the album quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's optimistic in the end. The last album kind of shows a bird's eye view of how special it is when things don't go well, and how much it teaches you about yourself when your expectations aren't met, and that it's not all bad, that a lot of great stuff comes from pain.
And you've talked a little bit about the influence of how that kind of the story of that album came together. What about the musical elements of that album? Like, what's your inspiration for that, and how do you, you know, put in, because you, a lot of stuff that I've listened to of yours, it's got, you know, horns and many, many like instrumental layers happening. So how do you incorporate all of that to then put together that story and that sound that you're trying to develop to tell all those sort of emotions and stuff in that?
I think of this particular album was like the anti-me musically, mm-hmm. because in every other sense, I love color and intricacy and in the bigger brassy stuff, because I went to the conservatorium to learn to write for large ensembles, to do orchestral stuff, to write for film, and I really like how big music can go.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes I lose the message in how grand it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why it's really great to work with someone like Ryan, who just, he goes, yeah, but just the piano vocal, like you just you and the piano, it's enough. And he'll rein me in sometimes, and it's really helpful because for this one, I just, some of the chords are literally just me playing a chord. Like there's one song that has three chords in it that just repeat the whole time, and it's just about the story. And it's just about the raw emotion of that story. So anything that distracted from that was too much. So we just shelved anything that was too complex and kept it as simple as possible.
Yeah. And when you're writing, is it the lyrics that come first?
It's always different. Yeah. I think it's one of those things that I don't know how it is for other people, but I can just hear a song. I'm doing something unrelated, and then all of a sudden I can just hear this music.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I tend to refine after that is have the lyrics that came to me been as distilled, and do they tell the story as accurately and as simply as possible? And then I'll change things, and I'll kind of, it's like the statue's already there, and then I get to do the little there's little fine chisels and
the intricate details.
Yeah, buffing David's bottom.
So I'm going to keep going because I think this is a really beautiful conversation. You were talking about how you thought you had it all kind of figured out in your 20s.
Mm.
What made you realize you didn't have it all figured out?
I thought that I understood people really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of my particular religious upbringing, I had been very sheltered and I didn't realize. I thought that everyone was honest and everyone was kind, and you could reason your way out of any problem because most people were reasonable. Mm. But I've certainly had experiences along the way where people haven't been kind and they haven't been honest. And there are people out there who using their own survival strategies and trying to meet their own needs have done a lot of damage and created scenarios, opportunities for a lot of pain. I had a particular relationship that taught me a lot.
Yeah.
And the feedback that I got from that experience was that I had real problems with boundaries, because I was just like, everyone's great and life is great. And so I was allowing a lot of my power, my idea about myself to just kind of dwindle.
Mm.
And through that, I hit a really interesting low,
mm-hmm.
where I just didn't know who I was anymore. And a lot of my closer friends were saying, Ash, what is wrong? Like, you're not okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I had myself convinced in that scenario that I was. It was only through all the pain of the separation of it all and all falling apart that I realized that sometimes boundaries are really healthy and things don't always just work out, and it's okay to go through horrible things. And also the positive that came out of that was seeing how beautiful the people in my life who aren't that way are,
mm.
and how important it is to be surrounded by community and people who you can trust and,
yep.
And lean on and confide in. And yeah, so.
Mm. Well, do you use music as an outlet for your mental health?
Not intentionally, but absolutely.
Mm.
I didn't know how much I needed my music until it came.
Yeah. And do you think music is, like, just overall on a broad scale important for a lot of people in terms of mental health? Like, how big a part do you think music plays in managing mental health, like, across the board?
It's magical. It has this incredible capacity, even music without words, has this incredible capacity for opening emotional doors for people and giving them experiences that – and I don't know if this has ever happened to you where you think, yeah, I'm fine, and then suddenly something happens in a song and it just cracks you open.
Mm.
And our minds, our conscious minds are really good at obscuring what we don't want to have to feel because it's too painful or it's too exciting or it's too much for the moment. And music just goes, yeah, conscious mind, that's cool.
Mm.
But also there's so much beauty in the extremes and in the intricacies of deep emotional experiences that make life worth it.
Mm.
And I think it's crucial. It's invaluable,
yeah.
for that. It's its own kind of therapy.
Yeah, I
agree. You can go and create a setting with a great therapist, and it's so important to have that resource available. But in its own way, you can put on a pair of headphones and do your own therapy through it in ways that you don't expect to.
Mm.
And I don't know of anything that's quite like it.
I get a bit like that when I find a song that I really connect to or relate to. I have this habit of, like, I just listen to it on repeat and repeat, mm-hmm. and repeat, because it's like,
cause
I've,
like,
got this weird connection to it, or it's making me feel a particular way or something like that. And
yeah.
just absolutely spam it until that emotion I've either gotten over or
yeah.
feel better about or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it gives you more layers of the onion until it's just revealed everything it needs to, and then suddenly you're okay to move on to the next thing.
Yeah, yeah. And when you're writing your lyrics, do you have a particular how do I word this? Like, do you hope that people can relate to your songs and pull something in there that helps them that they can connect to? Is that what you sort of think about when you write, or is it purely just like you're getting out your emotions and all that sort of stuff?
I think in my early writing, I wanted to be the therapist.
Mm.
I wanted to be the one who helped people to have their realizations. I didn't realize how self-centered I was when I wrote music early on. But it's not about me.
Yeah.
The music just magically, and this is only kind of in the last few years I've realized how important it is just to get myself out of the way of the process and let it be for other people, whatever it is for them.
Mm.
So if they connect to it, if it helps them to gain a greater understanding of themselves or the world, or I also love how music can save you time, because you can, what's the word? You can vicariously experience so much without having to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Because I've never had a lot of experiences of songs that I really love. I haven't had those experiences myself, but
mm-hmm.
now I can go into the depths of that emotion and go, wow, and it's like you can take on the lessons and the emotions of other people, and just it's like a magic portal.
Yeah. Yeah. How good is music?
It's the best.
So, Ash, your top three things that calm you. So your top three things that calm you, and you do have permission to add in a fourth wild card.
Okay. Nature has got to be my top. And I'm really lucky to be living close to it now, and just taking shoes off and going outside and just remembering that I'm very small in a very big place that has this knack for perpetuating life. I just feel like I'm supported these days, and nature has a very big part in that. Calming. When I get my hair patted.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that might be from a...
childhood?
When I was a kid, yeah, if I was sick or something, and like mum would just come along and just pat my hair or something like that.
Yeah.
So like once I've got my hair patted, I'm just like, ah,
I can relate to that. I love that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like a whole body just, I don't know.
Relaxes all of a sudden,
And my meditation's an obvious one.
I've actually not gotten into meditation. I've never... I think I find it something very difficult to... I don't know how to go about doing it.
I think it's because so many people think you need to do it. Like it's, meditation is the thing you do. Yeah. It's the anti-doing. Like true meditation is the opposite of doing.
Okay.
It's not trying to do anything. And you can do that. You can not try to do anything while you're doing stuff. Like you could be walking and meditating. You could be singing and meditating. You could be like, I meditate when I'm performing.
Okay.
You just go into a zone of not trying.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're doing it. You're not even trying to do it. And it's more about the internal experience rather than what you're trying to do. So when if you're trying not to think, the mind has this amazing ability to go, let's think lots.
About everything.
Yeah. So it gives you what you're trying to, because that's what's in your focus.
Yep.
Try and not think, and so the center of the focus is thinking, and so it gives you lots of that.
So maybe I am subconsciously doing it when I go for walks and stuff, because I love just doing like long, like I'll go for an hour and a half walk and just in the cold air and feel really good.
So it's a type of meditation.
Like subconsciously meditating.
Have you ever been driving and you've gotten to a part of the trip and you're like, oh, I'm here already. I don't remember. You've actually gone into your own state of meditation. It's not that you're unconscious.
I was like, is that safe?
Yeah. The cool thing about the mind is that it's hardwired to protect you.
Yeah.
So even though you're in an altered state of consciousness and, you know, you might be internally focused or like in a daydream and really enjoying that conversation you're having with someone in your head, it can snap you out immediately as soon as something changes. So. Yeah, I'm not suggesting that you should try to meditate while you're driving, but it's a natural thing that we do all the time, and we just don't know that's what it is. We think that meditation is this magical trance that you have to be in where you're not there.
Or like you have to be listening to one of those guided meditation.
Yeah, or you have to be sitting in the lotus position or whatever. No, meditation is just you can access it no matter what, and it's the opposite of trying.
I think that's a good fact to know because I feel like it makes less pressure, you know?
Yeah, and then it probably happens more easily.
Yeah.
Because you're not trying.
Exactly.
Which is the best place to write music from as well.
Yeah.
Whenever you're trying to do something, it always comes with resistance because your mind attaches to the need of what you're going to be or what you're going to feel when you get to the other end of it. And it's just nice to not try and see that you're connected to something mystical and magical outside of your own limited human capacity that is already just beaming with life and options and creativity and
so top three is nature,
having my hair padded
and that one. That's so good,
and
meditation
top three. I'd say
nice. Let's go back into talking about family ties, if that's okay.
Of course.
Can you, how many tracks are on the album?
10
tracks.
Yep.
And do you have a particular track on there that sticks out to you that either has the biggest emotional connection to you or something that you feel is the most important track on there?
That's a hard one. My favourite track is the final one because it is the resolution. And I had been stuck, and I didn't realise, I'd been stuck in, since Dad passed away, I had been stuck in the phase of the album, which is the grief and the loss and the... dislocation and the confusion and all of this just heaviness. I didn't know I was carrying it around because I, like you, would just get really busy.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier to be busy and think that everything's fine.
So I'm so good at that.
So when I sat with the album and sat and went through the journey of it, like I going preparing for the tour, yep. I was crying my way through the whole rehearsal. Mm. But the final track for me kind of ties it all together and goes, yeah, but that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's not all meant to be roses. It's not mm-hmm. all meant to be fun, because you can think anything you like about yourself when things are perfect.
Yeah.
But you really get to know who you are when things don't go well.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us a little bit about you and what you studied, your hypnotherapy? Can we talk a little bit about that?
Just
because I think that's an interesting sort of topic.
So my dad was a hypnotherapist.
Okay.
And a really good one. And before he got into hypnotherapy, I was terrified of public speaking.
Right.
Like it would cripple me for weeks beforehand.
Really?
You know how in English you had to do that 3-minute speech every year?
Yep.
And it's not comfortable for most people, but for me it was torturous. And
okay.
I had some experiences in primary school that that set me up for extreme dislike of negative attention in that setting, in that particular classroom setting, because I had a horrible teacher who just had it in for me for an entire year to make sure I felt like I had no intelligence and no worth. And
God.
It was wild. So by high school, it was well and truly cemented through repetition that it was the worst part of the year, and I was losing sleep and not wanting to eat and
oh my goodness,
having the worst time. And a friend of Dad's came over and I told him my story.
Mm.
And within a 5-minute conversation, it was gone.
Wow.
So this friend of my dad's, he was studying similar stuff.
Mm.
And I couldn't believe, because I couldn't remember what it felt like to not feel like that about that topic.
Sure. Yeah.
And I couldn't get it back. It was completely – and funny how the universe works. You you make yourself open to stuff and then it goes, how about this? As soon as I went back to school, in roll call, there was a call out for somebody to represent the school in an extracurricular public speaking competition.
Right.
And my hand went up before I even realized what was going on.
Oh, my goodness.
Next thing I'm at a state level being like a debater and a public speaking person.
Yeah.
And from there – it changed my life. Now I can do it whenever I need to.
That's crazy.
So I was studying psychology and anthropology at Macquarie University.
Yeah.
And I had an opportunity to study hypnotherapy. And from there, I've never looked back, because it is the most, as far as I can tell, most appropriate process and space for people who want to have access to deep emotional change.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that there isn't an incredibly important role for counselors, psychologists. There are so many different strings and so many different tools for so many different things. But for very, very deep awareness as well, there's a state that can be achieved through the hypnotic process that is incredibly insightful.
Mm-hmm.
Because the conscious mind has all of these management strategies, as we were talking about before, and these critical filters that keep you believing in the story of who you are and putting things in little boxes and keeping the story cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
But the more relaxed you are, the more open you are, it's like looking into the depths of a pond. If there are too many stress ripples on the top, you can't see with any clarity. So it's not a magical thing. It's literally just the more you're able to let go of the grip of the conscious mind and the stresses and the attachments and the avoidances of that part of you and needing to keep that story in check, it's amazing what comes up and how much capacity the mind has for self-healing.
Yes.
When it's just in the right environment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've heard that saying about if a flower doesn't bloom, you look at the soil, not the flower. Like,
yeah.
Not a blame thing, but you just create the best environment for somebody, and with the right guidance, it's an amazingly transformative thing for a lot of people. It's not for everyone, but for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me. Do you have anything or any kind of advice or things that you've gone through that you could pass on to someone who might be listening to this podcast that is sort of seeking some sort of direction, but just something from your experience that you could share with the listeners?
How long have you got? I want to speak to people who feel hopeless,
mm-hmm.
because In the last decade, I have been in places that I didn't think that I would ever be able to go emotionally, psychologically, in which it just feels, and the mind once again is really good at justifying how you feel. It's like the feeling comes first and the mind goes, oh, it must be because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Believed wholeheartedly that there was no point to any of it, that it wasn't going to get better, that there were no options available that were going to fix what I felt. And it's such a real thing when you're in it, and so self-justifying and self-perpetuating. And I know it really seems hopeless when you're there. And even if it feels like there's no way out, there are so many options available. And music is one amazing option. But it can get better, like no matter how bad it gets, no matter how bad it gets. And it can get really, really bad. It's one of those, it's like a fractal. You can go a fractal in either way. There's no end to how good things can get. There's no end to how bad things can get. You can really just keep diving if you want.
Mm.
And it does eventually, on some level, come down to a choice. Because no one can save you until you're wanting to do it. And it can get better, and it will get better, but it starts with the choice to climb. And even if the climb is hard, like it gets really hard sometimes, and it's not a straight climb either. It's like the graph on crypto that just like but eventually it rises. Just keep doing the work, keep getting yourself into routines that are healthy and give you energy rather than take energy away. Surround yourself with good people, stuff that builds you up, and little by little it is a recipe. There's a recipe to finding the way back, and we all kind of know the recipe, but if you don't, there's stuff out there to be found. The internet is an incredible tool for evil and for good, and if you're looking, the algorithms will help you.
Mm.
You can find the recipe, and it's amazing what comes into your life suddenly when you make that choice to invest in yourself and to move towards a life that you really want to be here for.
Yep.
Because there's so much cool stuff in the world. When you break out of that heaviness and start to see with your whole self, not just the pain self, not just the negative beliefs, there's still so much to discover, and it's a blessing, and you are a blessing. You don't even realize it. Like, you just being here helps so many people that you can't see, and you'll never know the positive impact that you have on people. So it's worth it. So just keep going.
Well said. So we're going to finish off the podcast now with a little section called Scenario.
Okay.
But basically you and me have to create a still photo of it together. So you are a character in a fairy tale trying to break a curse. Oh my goodness.
I'm putting all my trust in you right now to not drop the piano out of my head.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming to chat to us.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Especially coming all the way from Tamworth off to your tour.
It was my pleasure, honestly. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to share.
And everyone, make sure you check out all Ash's socials. We'll pop them up so you can see what he's up to and all music that's coming up. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.